Espresso.
Hi, my name is Bobby, and I'm calling about a song request for Michelle. I'm sorry you thought that I cheated off of you in school. I really didn't. I like you.
Who are you?
Coming up on Espresso Coffee Talk.
And God's going, but on the other side, you have another magnet.
Right.
That shows good and righteousness.
Right.
And so there's this duality, a pull going each way, where before there wasn't that. All Adam and Eve knew was just good.
So I want to stop you there for a minute. The following episode is sponsored by listeners like you. If you would like to sponsor or donate, please visit espressocoffeetalk.com. That's espressocoffeetalk.com.
Oh, good Lord, you're like a politician asking for money.
Have you ever noticed how everything in life has an origin story, a backstory of some sort? Hollywood has made millions creating origin stories, making movies about origin stories of some of your favorite characters. When you think about the X-Men series, when you think about the Justice League, when you think about, you know, Batman and Superman and all of those things, how Hollywood has really taken and created these origin stories to give you the backstory of your favorite character. Well, we are going to focus today on one major origin story of biblical proportions. So grab your cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy the show. I find that we did the podcast the last go round about grief.
Yep.
And I find that when I have mortality or death, rather, that happens within somebody, a realm that's close to me, I find that I think about my own mortality often.
Yep.
And which is crazy, because then it opens up the door to all kinds of anxiety and fear, and if you're not careful anyway. And then you just start to think different things. And one of the things that kind of have sparked, at least throughout this, is the idea of evil. And I want to be careful, because we're talking about we're going to do an origin story, basically. And in talking about, I don't necessarily want to talk about the origin of sin as what I do the origin of evil. So, and I think people kind of, sin and evil are synonymous. They go, hey, it is. Evil is sin, and sin is evil. Well, yes. However, sin didn't really, according to the Bible, sin didn't enter the world until Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree, right?
Right.
So, boom, there's your origin story of sin. Now let's talk about evil. Let's talk about the method behind the madness, or the madness behind the method, whatever we want to call it. But the origin story of evil itself, how did it get started? Did God create evil? Did evil just exist since good exists? What's kind of the background there? And I asked you a little bit earlier, we've been in and out of this talk too, but I asked you if you thought maybe you would have any thoughts on it. And you said, yes, you have some thoughts. So, maybe just a general idea for the moment, and then we'll dive into the deep stuff.
The deep stuff.
The deep stuff.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you want my thoughts? Gotcha.
I do. And then, listen, that's probably a unique request for you.
Yes. It's very true. People really don't ask my thoughts too often.
So I am here in full vulnerability.
Because they're scared of what might come out.
So. That's right. Listen, I got a whole big beep button, so we're good.
Good. Well, I'll be careful on that one. when it really comes down, because we're probably going to be on the Christian bend of this, because you can take this out to other cultures, and which, my gosh, that would be that's a lot of studying about where other cultures is. So the Christian bend of it, you know, what's the author? So I went back a little bit, and I was kind of looking at this because a lot of people point to, it's Isaiah 45:7. Mm-hmm. Depends on how you translate it. The God, in a sense, you can even go to Job. God is in control of this. He's created everything. He's done everything. For me, this is all speculation, folks, because none of us, if anybody ever says, well, this is what happened, you don't know. So we're speculating. And I alluded to this in the past, that before all the creation and everything, this creator, this God being, had to have grappled with and wrestled with evil in his own being. Because we know that, because in the beginning when he creates everything, he doesn't just create it all good, which he does, but he gives the option of, well, okay, there is another option that goes down another path, but I'm asking you not to do that. So in my two bits of this, it's somehow, when it comes to God, he had to have wrestled with that to the point where he was able to, in his own right, how do you put it? He's good, according to what we're, he's good, loving, caring. So he's able to keep in check the evil that, I'm sorry, it's part of his being. He just is able to keep it in check. And knows how to master that, because we have that. We, as humans, are battling with how to master this duality with the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. So God, and this is my take on it, folks. That's all I can deal with and figure out, is if we're trying to master it and trying to deal with it, he must have, because he put into the realm of creation the option of disobeying, which leads towards, I guess, the evil in the world. So that's, as a Christian point, I know that, because we really can't say for certain what happened in the past. I can't. Was God at one time bent on, I don't know, bent on evil? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Has he always been good? It sounds that way, but there's a duality with him as well. He's just able to master it. Yeah. And so that's my opinion when it comes to this.
Yeah, that's the general sort of. And so I'm over here. I think when I think about it, there's some questions that I have that arise up, because I'm going, okay, if God, the God who we're talking about, if he created all things, then my question is, does he, and I think the answer is, this is my own belief, is that the answer is yes. But does he have then the ability to define for himself what is good and what is evil? And if he does, then he can say, well, this is good over here and this is evil. This is what I want and this is what I don't want, especially if, And I could marry that with your thought if I wanted to, of saying, if he's mastered these things that he's wrestled with, if indeed he has wrestled with all of these things and he's mastered them, then he can say, this is what I want. This is pleasing to me. And this over here is not pleasing to me. Therefore, this is evil. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because again, this is all speculation. I have to keep saying that because it is. Because he did line out, these are the things that are pleasing, and these are the things that sounds like this will give you peace in your life. Mm-hmm. This will give you contentment in your life. If you run off the other thing, if you run down the other path, destruction is just going to be it. So my take would be, is as he wrestled through this for however long he did, if he did, he would have come to the point of saying, yes, I have come to the realization that this is the way to live that gives you harmony in not just life, but in the universe as well. This ultimately creates harmony. This, on the other side, does not. And then it sounds like, I mean, I wrestle with that. We've gone through that when it comes to creation and sin and all that. Mm-hmm. Is he gave the option. Now, why? This is the ultimate question that will never be answered. Is that, was he given the choice that I must choose here between following this path or that path? Again, speculation, people. But we're created in his image on the way he kind of thoughts and on the way he thinks and his creative. We're in his realm in a point. It's just we have human bodies and we're a creation. We're not gods. We're just a creation of his. But we have to wrestle with it. And he gave it the option to the first humans. Says, okay, you have an option. You can follow this path, and I'm telling you, you'll have long life. But here's the other option. I'm telling you not to do it.
Right.
And I've always rather go, then why'd you put it there? Mm-hmm. My feeling has to be is it has to be there. Mm-hmm. Because at one point, maybe he wrestled with it. It has to be an option.
Right.
Again, we scratch our heads wondering because we cannot go in the past beyond our creation and know, because God has not given any type of detail on what was before creation.
Right. Well,
we don't know.
Right. So let's go down this path for a moment, because we've studied this in the past too. So we're just going to lay the cards out there. And then some of the things that have been promoted, some of the things that have been taught in churches, in interpretation of the Bible and so on. And then we can go back to and sort of navigate our thought process through all of this. I think it's, is it Isaiah that talks about, it's not just Isaiah, but it talks about the idea of Lucifer, or the concept that we pull from Lucifer. It's the king of Tyre, I think. And then there was the king of Babylon or whatever. But the king of Tyre, I think it was the one that sort of rebelled against God. And the Bible talks about how he was the cherub in the Garden of Eden and so on. And you get all of these different allusions and imageries and all of that to kind of give you this idea. So is he talking about the king of Tyre, or is he talking about this character that we have come to know as Lucifer?
Yeah, the angel. Yeah. My feeling is it references the king, but it sounds like in reference to him, he compares him to this creature that was in the Garden of Eden. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
That, you know, the direct thing is directly towards this king, along with the other passage that deals with another king, king of Babylon or somebody. But it's a direct reference, but he's using this as a reference going, well, you're just like da-da-da-da-da. And this this being, whoever he is, and you know, people use the term Lucifer. Well, that just means a morning star. This means a shining morning star, which is usually Venus and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's not a title. I mean, it's not a name. It's more of a title. It's the bright morning star. Anyway, regardless, my feeling is just through the banter of looking at the passage and what we've gone through is, yes, it's directed towards a king, but he references this creature who had some, you know, dominion over something, his role, and he forsook the role, which then goes back again. We can then backtrack that and go, well, what caused him? I mean, it did not sound like we were given the reference, like, here's a tree, you must choose. You know,
right.
Follow me or eat of the tree of, you know, doesn't sound like that was the case. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't know.
Right. And
we really don't know.
But if we follow that mindset or that thought process there, then really the origins of evil can come in if Lucifer, if that whole concept is a reality, then we can follow the concept or the thought process, of saying that evil probably really started then with the pride of who we call Satan, who was this being called Lucifer, and he and a handful of his followers, he somehow built an army up in the heaven realm, and he, along with some of these followers, have since fallen and have become, but it all started with pride and this idea and notion that here's this being who wants to exalt himself as God and essentially can't. And so he loses this battle and falls and whatever. I'm not sure that I buy that thought process. I'm not sure that I buy that you have this entity that had a war in the heavens at first, and there was this issue of pride, and so now he went down to earth and then got man to sort of follow him. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying I'm not sure that I can believe that yet. I don't believe that I'm down that thought process.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to follow your thought. When it comes towards this being, all we have as a reference is there's some sort of anti-Godhead flowing through. You get that through Scripture. You and I have gone through that when it comes towards different kingdoms and those who decide to follow the Godhead and those who have rebelled.
Right.
And have decided to follow their own paths. And again, we get the reference that God has allowed it. God still allows this to happen, just as he allowed Adam and Eve going, okay, you choose. I'll allow it. There's consequences if you go this path, and there's good stuff if you go this path. Mm-hmm. So he gives them that inkling that you have to decide. And I'm going to diverge this a bit and say when it comes to sin and evil, evil is the outcome, in my view, of disobedience to God. It is the outcome. Are they tied together? I'm not sure. It's just as a result of disobedience, thus creates, and my definition, I guess you can look at the definition evil, but when it comes to the Christian thing, it really is, it's following self. And we see that in Adam. We see this through the lineage of Adam, especially when it comes towards Adam begins to only think about himself, especially when God comes down and says, whoa, 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 okay, did you eat of this? Mm. And he goes, well, it was her fault. Yeah, right. he doesn't take the blame. So that begins the process of the blame game. I'm not responsible, that person. You start. So evil is this constant rebellion to self-delusional thinking. It's all about me.
Okay, so you're saying that evil is sort of the result of.
Yep.
So I would.
Disobedience of God.
Yeah. And so I think maybe where I would come at it, and doesn't mean this doesn't make me right or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. So this, for people listening, this is an example of two people discussing this coming at it from a different angle. And I guess my thought process has always been that evil was more of the influencer and that sin was probably more the result. But I see what you're saying because evil, I actually think both are right. As I'm thinking about this and I will try to navigate this as I'm thinking about it. But evil, something influenced, something from the beginning influenced, and it was some sort of nature some sort of thought process or some sort of spiritual something that influenced the desire to be selfish. But then from that point on, the result was the very thing that influenced. It's almost like evil produced evil, produced evil, produces evil, produces, and so on. And so evil becomes the result because it was also the influence. It's almost like it procreates itself through different people's actions and desires and whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I see where you're going with that. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. It's just on my view of this, and as I've come to my peace with it, mm-hmm. and again, it could be right or wrong, but when it comes to sin and evil, you know, if you look at sin, which you've gone through, it really is the disobedience. Yeah. You have decided, no, I'm not going to follow what you say. That's why I said, as a result of, because God says, don't eat this, because if you do, you're going to die. So there's a consequence. So then this being comes in, Satan, whoever he is, comes in there and makes him question it. Is that the result of evil? No, it's just he throws a kink into it, makes their mind go elsewhere. Well, I never thought about that. You can begin to see their brain twisting, going, okay, which one do I follow? Do I follow what God said, or do I follow my own desire? So somehow, in the midst of this, God gives them a choice mentally. You have a choice. Mm-hmm. And so they did. As a result of that, that's what I say, as a result of that, then you have the manifestation of evil popping in. Then it becomes all about me. I mean, we can point to, the problem is we point, well, that person's evil. Well, we all have potential of being evil. We all do.
Sure.
And we, you know, we point towards, you know, in our, you know, Hitler. Well, he was, in his mind, he was bent on, well, this group of people have always influenced Germany in the wrong way, so we have to get rid of them. I'm not saying he was right, because he was absolutely wrong, because now he's venting his views on a group of people who he blames for Germany's collapse, and thus starts the progression down towards, well, the only way we can fix this is we just got to kill them.
Right.
We've got to just wipe them off the face of the earth. So it's that bent, and we all have that potential. We all do, because that decision of saying, I'm going to disobey against God, then becomes, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning of, you know, how do I better myself?
Right.
And then it just snowballs, or it can.
Right. And this kind of reminds me of the story of Cain and Abel and I was kind of thinking through this a little bit ago as you're talking too. You've got Cain and Abel, and they both come with this sacrifice, and God accepts Abel's sacrifice, but he doesn't accept Cain's. And it says, and this, if you're whoever's reading in chapter 4, and it says in verse 5, it says, his offering had no regard, and Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. But then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, or if you do good, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, or if you don't do good, then sin is crouching at your door, which is an interesting sort of, It almost sounds like an oxymoron, because he goes, if you're not doing good, well, if you, in my mind, you know, we've always grown up like, if you're not doing good, then you're doing evil, or if you're not doing good, then you're sinning. But he says, if you're not doing good, then sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you. So sin is almost like this new thing. Then if you're not doing good, then you're, it's going to result in sin. It's going to result in missing the mark. It's crouching at the door. It's desires for you. But he goes, but you have to learn to master it. You have to learn to master.
Yeah, that's,
the desire. Yeah, the right. sin.
And that's what I'm saying is it was sitting there, which means you get this little, you know, dark path that is going to start calling to you. Mm-hmm. And that's where God's warning. Listen, if you continue down this, it's going to consume you, which right. it did. Mm-hmm. And so God said, you know, that's where I'm saying is we now are left in this dilemma of I can choose to do good or I can let sin reign and then I do evil. So sin is the, my view is the sin is the starting block is I constantly decide to disobey and not listen to the Creator. Now begins the path of following evil instead of following God. So you let sin consume you and pull you. It's like a magnet. That's the problem running into the sinful life. He's such a magnet. And God's going, but on the other side, you have another magnet
right.
that shows good and righteousness.
Right.
And so there's this duality, a pull going each way. Mm. Where before, there wasn't that. Mm. All Adam and Eve knew was just good.
So I want to stop you there for a minute. Because this is a question, too, that I've had. And to me, this kind of plays into the origin of evil, or at least the process of evil. Did Adam and Eve ever, and maybe I've asked this before, but did Adam and Eve always do only things that were what we think of today are good? Or did they do things, this is all prior to eating the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Did they do things that today we would call sin? However, because they didn't know about it, it wasn't labeled as sin. It wasn't labeled as evil. And here's why I ask that, because a lot of people would say, well, no, Adam and Eve were perfect. They did only what was good in the eyes of God. But when Adam and Eve eat of the tree, and it's here's where people get tripped up. It is not the tree of good and evil. It's not like because they ate this fruit of this tree, all of a sudden
magically
there's good yes. and there's evil now. That's not it.
No.
In fact, good and evil have always been, but somehow so this tree's planted there, and that he gives them the option. You can either have life or you can eat, and you can have knowledge of good and evil. Because that's what the tree is. It's a tree of knowledge. It's not a tree of good and evil. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you don't grab a hold of that, then I guess once you do grab a hold of that, it changes the story completely. Because you no longer are you thinking, well, they ate and now good and evil are an option in the world. No, no, no. It's always been an option. Here's the deal. Having that knowledge of it now makes you guilty of it. And so when God comes down after they eat, and you remember they hid from him because they said that they were naked and ashamed, his question wasn't, what sin did you commit? You know, he didn't come down and go, why are you naked? He came down and he said, who told you that you were naked? It's not like they became naked when they were eating of the fruit. They were always naked. But the Bible says, he came down and he said, well, who told you that you were naked? And then he asked him, did you eat of the tree of knowledge? Because now you know that you're naked. So it brings me back to my question. Did they do things not knowing what was good and what was evil? And it was, I don't want to say that it was free reign, it was free game to do anything and all things. However, you could take that and plant it into the New Testament, where I think it was Paul that said, well, everything's permissible, but not everything's profitable. And so did they, was it more that they, because they ate of the tree of knowledge, now they became guilty of their actions?
Well, I'm going to put it there, the way I look at it, very simplified form, as I've wrestled with this forever, and I could be right or wrong. I really don't know. But my simplifying, I'm with you. The fruit wasn't this spectacular glowing, you know, where they ate it, all of a sudden there's a big flash or reset in the universe. And suddenly it's like, holy crap. For me, before eating, again, speculation, before eating the fruit, God probably gave them, or they knew. I don't know whether God hardwired them knowing this is pleasing. This is the right thing to do. So whether they knew this or God was teaching them along the way, you know, I don't know. See, we aren't given that clue. Whether if they knew it, then they were doing all the right things and they weren't floundering.
Right.
But, or were they like children and God was going, wait. Okay, don't do that again because this, that. Oh, okay. So this is what we aren't given a clue on that.
Right.
We don't know. All I can say is because at the time when God says, don't eat this, and really the only consequence is you're going to die. Mm-hmm. That was the consequence. You're going to die. If you eat of it, you're going to die. Now, did they know what death was? I'm sure they must have, but they wouldn't have went, death, what is that? So they must have known some concept of the end of something, whether animals died or I've heard other folks going, you know, they could have fallen off a cliff and died. You know, they weren't like, we don't know. But for me, the subject comes down to God says, don't eat it. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Well, as soon as they did that, that shows disobedience. So it wasn't a magical poof. It was, now I've decided consciously not to follow what the Creator told me to do. Mm-hmm. That was the point where everything changed. Because mm-hmm. He says, don't touch it, don't eat it. Mm-hmm. Well, they touched it and ate it. At that point, because they now disobeyed. Right. That's all sin is, disobedience. You're going to get. So as soon as that happened, well, it wasn't this magical fruit. It was just, holy crap. Now I understand disobedience. Came into the, I've never had this feeling before. And because of that, you become self-conscious of it. You have to hide it. I mean, it's just like stealing something. I stole this. I got to hide it. You know, I can't let people know. Same concept. Crap. Suddenly, they're, you know, whatever that part of the brain that wasn't switched on, now switched on. Mm-hmm. And they consciously made that decision to disobey. That's the beginning of sin. And then the course of action goes that you now have the options to live a life of evil. So I'm with you. I don't believe the fruit was this magical, you know, had this, God put this special formula in it.
Right.
That suddenly, you know, changed their whole DNA. It was, I've now disobeyed against God, and I know it. Mm-hmm. At that point, oh, crap. He told us not to do that. We just did it, and then everything changed.
Yeah.
And then the blame game goes. That's now you can see the concept of evil now taking off because it wasn't me, it was her.
Right.
No, it wasn't me.
It was
the serpent. So now they just start, it's this finger pointing to get the spotlight off of you.
Well, and what's interesting is that God entertains it because he goes,
oh yeah,
He said, yeah, Adam goes, well, this woman, and so he looks at the woman and she goes, well, this serpent. And so, and here's the other part of this, and I guess I'm going to chase some rabbit trails for a minute, but because I've done all of this, like, what is the fruit? Was the fruit, you know, allegorical? Was it some sort of, you know, metaphor? Was it, what was it? And you've heard all different things. I've heard all different things, like, well, it was about, you know, sex. They had sex. Well,
I mean,
time out. Here's what I want to, and maybe I'm jumping ahead of the game here, but when you study Genesis, because really Genesis is the origin story, right? I mean, if we're going to,
yep.
And not just in Christian culture, it's in Judaism, it's in Islam, it's in, you know, all of these ancient cultures. I mean, you can go back and you can look, and things like a flood that engulfed the earth, that was, it's a prevalent theme among many cultures, many religions. There are some commonalities among all things. And so you can go back. And so this Genesis nature, it's an origin story. So when you study it and you read, let's say, Genesis chapter 1, all of a sudden you get this, Genesis chapter 1, for whatever reason, seems to stand out apart from the rest of what was happening, because you go into Genesis chapter 2 and so on, and you read and you go, okay, Genesis chapter 1 is like this, like what is happening in Genesis chapter 1 here? Because in it, he says, let us create man in our image and let him be fruitful and multiply. Let him procreate, let him subdue the earth, let him fill the earth, you know, all of those things. Well, how are you going to do that? Sex. It's not like sex was this bad thing that God said, no, you can't do it, or no, you can't do it right now, but somewhere down the line you can do it. That's not how that was. Sex was a part of God's plan because he created man.
It's natural. It's a natural part of who we are.
Right, and it was a natural part of God's plan that you can read about in the Bible. You can read about it. So for those of you who are going, well, no, the fruit was sex. Well, that's...
I don't know that.
So then the question is, and I will get back to Genesis 1 a little bit, maybe down the road here. But the question becomes then, so why did God punish them the way that he did? Well, does the punishment fit the crime? If all they did was eat from the fruit of this tree, and if it was a fruit from a tree and it was the knowledge of good and evil, if that's the case, then why the punishment? And here's because I've asked that question, and I've wanted to study that question. And not too long ago, I'm reading it and I'm going, when God created things, the Bible says that he created this garden in Eden, right?
Yep.
So the attributes of the Garden of Eden are what? I mean, it says every plant, every tree, everything that yields fruit that's pleasing, you can eat from it. There's the tree of life, which, you know, some people mistake for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they say, well, no, they couldn't eat from the tree of life. Yes, they could. That's what gave them the provision of life. You had the river that ran through Eden. You had all these things that give life, right? And then the Bible says that God created man and placed him in the garden. So he wasn't created in the garden. He was actually created outside the garden, but he was placed in the garden. So the garden wasn't man's, it was God's. And God decided, I'm going to create this being and I'm going to give him life. And he can have it for all eternity. Now, there was this other tree in there, and if they eat from it, they will die. But when he comes down, and you know, like you said, you get the blame game going. Adam, what did you do? And he goes, this woman. And so he looks at the woman. He goes, and the woman goes, well, the serpent, this other thing that you created. And so then he goes about, and he curses the serpent. Then he curses the woman, and then he curses the man. So he kind of works his way backwards. But you begin to ask the question, well, why did he curse them the way that he did? And the curse on the woman, I can't really answer the serpent except to say the very thing that man was created from is the very thing you're going to crawl your belly on. You're going to eat it.
Right.
So sucks to be you.
Yeah.
But woman, you're going to have pain in being fruitful and multiplying. You're going to have pain in giving life because what I gave to you, I gave to you freely. But you decided that that wasn't enough. And so you decided to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That you didn't need me and you didn't need what I had to offer you. Well, now I'm going to show you that you're going to be able to give life, but it's going to cause you so much pain. That's the labor, the pain. Adam, you're going to toil through the sweat and all of that, working the land, trying to gain things for the provision of life because I gave it to you freely. You were created outside the garden, and then I placed you in the garden where I gave you life, and I gave it abundantly, and I gave it for all eternity that you could have had it. You would have never died, but you decided that you didn't need me, and you decided that you didn't need what I had to offer, and you were going to be able to do it all by yourself. Just like you said earlier, you became selfish. It becomes all about me, 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 me. And because of that, you're going to work the land, and it's not even going to produce very good crop for you, thorns and all that stuff, because you thought you could do it by yourself. I don't. The fruit doesn't need to be some obscure thing in the Bible. It doesn't need to be about sex. It doesn't need to be about some crazy crime. All it needs to be about is disobeying God and thinking that you could do this on your own without him. That's all it needs to be about.
Yeah. And again, I believe he, and you and I have gone through this before, is he questions each one, Adam, Eve, and then the serpent. And I believe 100% this is, he gives them the opportunity to fess up. Mm-hmm. Are you going to take responsibility for what you did? And that's why he questioned every single one. Now, he knew that the serpent, whoever this being was, there wasn't anything, you know, why did you do this? No, it was immediately going, hey, dude, you're the one who started this. So there was no out on him, this being. There was no, you know, Adam, did you eat it? Yes, but she gave it to me. And then the woman, well, this thing deceived me. God doesn't go to the thing over there and say, okay, why did you do this? No, because he's the author of it. He's the kickstarter of this event. Mm-hmm. But my take on that, just because of the questioning, is what would have, and I've asked him, what would have happened if Adam would have said, yeah, I did it. I'm at fault. It wasn't her. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I could have said no, and I didn't. You told us not to do it, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I wonder if things would have changed immensely if they would have owned up to it, because I think that's why God went to each one and questioned them. Did you do this? Did you do this? Looking for the ownership, and they all just passed the buck.
Yeah.
Because now you're taking, in a sense, it all becomes about protecting me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pass it off on someone else. It wasn't my responsibility. Well, they did it. And that's the human condition at this point. That's that battle. If we can conquer that, because anytime you're caught in a trap, what's your first thing? How do I get out of it? Not how do I take ownership of it and be honest with it? No, how do I get out of it? You know, if you stop speeding, well, you know, I was busy. You know, you try to pass the buck. Yeah, I wasn't looking down. Just take, and I've done this before. Doesn't get, you know, sometimes it got me out of it, but I'm being honest going, yep, you're right, I did.
Yeah.
It's taking ownership. There's still consequences in it, but God is taking, you know, the way I look at it is God's looking for us to take ownership of, yeah, I'm the one at fault here. And that's why he did what he did.
Right.
Now there's a choice now. And it is the crazy thing is it becomes hereditary. Then now it's passed down. So before, whether there was a chromosome change or I don't know, now all offspring are born with this division.
Right.
Of I have the option of doing what's right or doing what's wrong, which is evil. I have the option of following God's desire or not. In a sense, we call it sin. I'm going to disobey, which then perpetrates evil. Mm-hmm. But we have the option of doing that. And all God, you know, that's where it said in the end of the world, whenever there's going to be a judgment, is, yeah, here's all your deeds. And the reason Christ comes is, well, all I can say is I take responsibility of all this, but I believe in him that because of what he did, you know, I can be redeemed.
Right.
In a sense, it just washes that sin verdict away.
Yeah.
But I am guilty. I'm guilty, but, and I plead for mercy under the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
I plead mercy under them. Please forgive me because I'm an idiot.
But this is why, and I think that you will find, but I think a lot of people miss that, maybe not miss it, but they're not allowing themselves to grab the revelation here of that it's not taking you back to, and people are going to not like this, but you can read this in the New Testament. This is not meant to, Christ's coming is not meant to take you back to the ways of the law, the perfection of the law.
No.
Of Moses. And that's a huge thing, because if Christ came to take you back to, you know, all of the thou shalt's and thou shalt not's and all that stuff.
Yeah, all the rules and regulations, yes.
If he came back to take you back to that, then he has done nothing but replace the burden back onto you that you couldn't carry to begin with, and that's why you needed him. You know what I mean? It's like, so, and it brings me back to, I hate to do this, but it brings me back to my question. Did Adam and Eve really, really have a knowledge of what was good, and they operated in what was good? I'm not sure that they did, and I'm not sure
I agree. I don't think, even if they did, they weren't aware of it. Again, you come down to the concept, it had to be two things. Either they knew it all, and they knew what was good, and they knew what, okay, this is all I know is good, and it always prefer, or they were like children, and God was course correcting them along the way. I mean, would they have killed somebody? No. There was something innate. I mean, that was after the fall, so it wasn't even thought of the part of their thought process. But was their course correct? It really depends on how far their intellect was at the time of creation.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
But
so was God treating them like children?
Right.
And that, in a sense, helping them, guide them through the little stumblings they go through, or did they already know it all? I don't know.
You
can take it either way.
Right. And the other thing you have to think is there are some resources that we have that they did not have to be able to sin. So, and what I mean by that is, you know, you say, well, thou shalt not commit adultery. Who are Adam and Eve going to commit adultery with?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Well, is Adam going to kill his wife? I mean, I guess, but thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or belongings. Who's the neighbor? You know what I mean? So a lot of the things that we deem as sin today, they didn't have the resource to be able to even comprehend that or to
fathom it. And so for me, it comes down to that point where there was some knowledge now that was bent at the point of disobeying that then bent the way they think. Because before they touched it, all they knew was this is pleasing. This is good. This is loving. No matter what, I'll take responsibility for what I did was, you know, even with, here's the thing is, did they get into arguments? I don't know. But in the end of it, they would have smoothed everything out.
Right.
I mean, if there was disagreements. Now, wait. It wouldn't have been, well, you're just a, you know, and you start this path going down of resentment. That would not have been part of their thinking. They may have disagreed. Is disagreeing a sin? No. I don't believe it is. It's when it becomes selfish that now leads you away from what God intended. So, you know, we need to plant this over here. I disagree. It looked better over here. Would they have gotten a shot at shouting match? Probably not. But God, you know, that's just my two bits on this. But once you decide to disobey, it now bends it.
Right. Well, that would be like Cain and Abel again. Look, your countenance has fallen. Be careful. Sin's crouching at your door.
Yeah, it's not. You now, yeah, you now know. Maybe before you probably didn't know this, but you now have this option now. Before you, maybe they didn't have the option. Mm-hmm. Or it wasn't even part of their thought. Now it is.
Right.
Now it is part of that thought process. And God's warning them, be careful. Because once you let sin overtake you, that's what I'm saying, that's when the roots of evil begin to sprout. Mm-hmm. And it did. Because he gets selfish. And again, which is kind of interesting, because we really don't know anything about, you know, all of a sudden God has them, wasn't explained that they were doing sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And what the two were sacrificing, I don't. But right. Somehow, whatever Cain was doing was not, whether he was just doing it, whatever. Here it is. And didn't put his heart into it. Mm-hmm. Or Abel did. And he became, what did he do? He got jealous of, I guess, God, you know, took more in. And what he was doing, and he got jealous of it. Mm-hmm. And again, that's where God warns him. Now, just I'm telling you, sin's going to start knocking on your door. Don't let it. Don't answer it.
Right.
It's crouching there. It's waiting for you. Because at that point, if you open that door, it's going to consume you. And it did.
Yeah.
And as a result of it, you have, everything changes. At that point, you can just see the progression of selfishness go down that path. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't know. I mean, when it comes to Adam and Eve, regardless, they wouldn't have fought into the evil. They wouldn't have thought this is really going against God's will. No, they wouldn't have thought that because they wouldn't have done that consciously. Because they chose to eat it, they consciously decided to rebel against God. But God told them not to do. That's the crux of it. They decided on their own.
Yeah.
It wasn't just oops. And then we have to go back. This is what we can't answer is the author of all this, what happened there? Mm-hmm. You know, with the creation before Adam and Eve. We can go back. We don't have any clue.
No.
On this heavenly host, this council that was established, what caused, it sounds like he just, this being just decided, I'm not, which then they had a choice. We go back to that. The heavenly host had and may still have a choice. Mm-hmm. He gave humans that option. Well, it must have been all his creation to have that option, including the heavenly host, because we can see the ramifications of this. And there's still beings out there. I get my whole thing was, can they still make a choice to follow God and follow and not follow him? Don't know. So the author of, I guess, let's say the author of evil, the instigator of it, was this being. But what caused him? Don't know.
You had mentioned Isaiah 45:7.
45:7, where it says God's the It all depends on the interpretation of it. Some say destruction. I create good and I create bad.
Yeah.
In a sense, something good and evil.
So what I want to do is I want to read for the listeners. I want to read through that real quick, just certain parts of it. And I would encourage the reader to go back and read the whole thing just so that you can get it in context. I hate when people take it out of context
and try to do
their thing. And that's not what we're trying to do here. So I want to give you a little bit of it and then, again, go back and read it. But he says, I want to start in verse 5. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I will gird you. Some translations say arm you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. And then verse 7, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. And I think the word for that is in the Hebrew, it's ra, which means evil, displeasure, distress, calamity, affliction, adversity, you name it, mischief. So if he's saying, I cause the well-being and I create the calamity, I am the Lord who does all of these things, opens up a whole slew of things, which I think in the past we've talked about in different podcasts. But in Genesis 1, I want to bring it back to that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. If I'm going to take this is just me now. This isn't biblical accuracy. This is Jason. But if I take this and I go, okay, there was darkness. He said, I create light and I create darkness. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. God said, let there be light. He says that there was darkness, but there was waters. There was something tangible already in place, right? And it says the Spirit then was hovering over those waters, but then God said, let there be light. So here you go. This is almost like Isaiah 45 and 7. God says, I create light and I create darkness. I create well-being and I create calamity. So in Genesis chapter 1, is he saying, I have created the darkness and I'm going to create the light now? And does that mean I have created the evil and now I'm going to create the remedy, which is the light, the good?
Well, it's almost like a balance. Mm-hmm. You know, it gives a balance there that, yes, there is going to be, there's darkness, and to, I would say counteract it, but to blend with it, there's now light. And he separates them. He calls it day and night. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you have this duality of light and darkness. And then it says one's day and one's evening. And I'm trying to figure out, where does he say? At that point, I do not believe, we'd have to go to this, that he's not talking about the sun. He's not referring to sunlight.
Right.
He creates out of the midst of this.
It's not till the fourth day that he creates, because he calls verse 14. God says, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night." Yeah,
right. So he creates. This is what throws us off, because we always think the only way you can have light is by something giving off that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what verse 3, it says, let there be light. He creates an option other than darkness. There's now something called light, visible. Mm-hmm. And then he separates them. Okay, there's going to be light. This is going to be day, and this is going to be night.
Right.
So you have a duality going on here between them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not a son, according to what we understand. It's not referring to the sun. It's just,
no.
And we're always going, well, how can you have light without, because we can't fathom that.
Right.
You know, when the sun goes down, it's dark. Well, that's what God says. Now you have sun, there's night and day.
But it goes to show you up to the point of day four, everything that he created in physical darkness, because he didn't create physical light until day four.
Right.
So, it's done in the dark, and then it's brought to the light. It's worth noting that in John chapter one, it sort of kind of parallels Genesis. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning, and all things came with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was light of men.
Right.
So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So there was the darkness, but then there was the light. And that, I mean, if you follow John, then we're talking about Jesus.
Right.
So
yeah, this form, yeah, this Godhead, this,
yes,
how God's able to, he's describing himself in different ways, mm-hmm, but it's all the same being. We don't understand it. It's, I've tried forever going, okay, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a form there, which was part of the Godhead. We call him Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, whether he was named that, the way I taught it is Christ, when he came here, was like the megaphone of God. He took on a human form, and all he was a megaphone. It's God's voice speaking to human nature. So you have God's voice speaking to humans. So when God came down, I've always wondered, and we're getting away from the evil thing, but when God comes down and speaks to Adam and Eve, is this our concept of who we were referred to as a Godhead of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's a voice speaking? Now, again, it doesn't matter. It's still God. I mean, it should not throw us off. Go, wait. God, you know, yes, we have three parts going on here. We have the Spirit of God, trying to figure that one out, what exactly that is. That goes over the surface and looks at everything. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, the way I can put it, it's almost like a drone in our vocabulary. It'll change over the next 20, 30 years. But it was almost like this, God sends this little part of him out as a drone to gather information about, you know, what's going on. So God can somehow, I can't fathom it. But anytime you hear the word, this was the voice of God speaking to right. humans. Mm-hmm. And this was our reference to the form of Christ. We now have a physical man. It's called Jesus. He's just, this was the word of God. When God spoke, that's who we reference as Jesus. It's God's word.
Right.
So when God speaks and speaks things into existence, well, that's our understanding of what Jesus came. So that, yeah, you can spin that around your brain for a long time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But you know what I think too, as we're seeing this, and as we're seeing the origin of evil, maybe the intent of evil though is something that is, how do I want to say this? Anybody who is not of God, or anybody who departs himself or herself from God, I guess I want to say maybe evil exists and has to continue to exist because it has a purpose in the kingdom. And that is this. When you think about Adam and Eve in the garden, if Jesus wasn't there in the flesh, or if God wasn't there, call him Jesus, whatever you want to call him. If God was not there in some sort of human fleshly form, because the Bible says in Genesis that they heard the voice of God. So if or they felt the voice of God or something in the cool. But if that's the case, if they saw all things spirit, if they saw this spiritual realm of things that were happening, going on, did they see angels? Did they, were they privy to that kind of thing? Were they able to see in a realm? If that's the case, then evil had to have taken them away from that realm. Evil had to have taken them away from seeing things in a spiritual realm. And now all you see is this sort of fleshly, humanistic realm. And you can't get back to the spiritual realm unless you do away with evil, unless you master the evil.
Yeah, right. Because it sounds like these understanding, because I was never taught this in college, anything, that this place, Eden, wasn't, how do you put it? We always think, our vision was, it's a garden, Adam and Eve are there, blah, and God is someplace else. I don't believe that's the case anymore. Mm-hmm. This was the dominion of where God, the eternal, mixes with mortal. So he is there in their presence, along with, I would believe, whatever angelic or when it comes down to the council, we referred to this, of other Elohim's gods, not the God, but other heavenly realms. We always think they're all angels, and that's not the case. There are dominions in this thing. But it was a communion of where you have the eternal and the physical blending together. And that was God's intention. That is, which then references back to Revelation, where God will restore that, where we are in his presence again. So I'm telling you, you have to think, when you look at this creation of the earth, and then them being placed in Eden, God was there. They were communion. So if there were other heavenly beings, they would have been there too.
Right.
Now, again, we do not know when one of the council members decided to go. Was it after creation? Was it before creation? In a sense, the beginning of the process of disobedience and the process of pushing towards evil. We do not know this. We have no clue. I've heard it, but you're guessing on that one. But during that process, sometime in here, this creature decided, we do not know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden.
Yeah.
We don't know. Now, I would not, the way I look at it is, if God says, I need you to get on with the business of having kids, they would have gone on with the business of having kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would have. I mean, they would have. They wouldn't have said, "Look, and when we feel like it," they would have said, "Okay, let's just get on with it." So it's got to be, if that's the case, within a year. I'm guessing, because 9 months. Were they immediately? Here's what we don't know. Also, is how long Adam was by himself in the garden.
Right.
Don't know. Was he there a year, two, 10,000? We don't know before Eve was created. Mm-hmm. No clue. Now, I'm not going into this to eat. This is kind of off the evil thing, but we have looked at the whole, it's just how we are not, none of us are taught this. But when you really look at it, you're going, okay, none of this was explained. Mm-hmm. Again, the author of sin and disobedience, we don't know when that happened. All we know is sometime during this time, he comes down, doesn't surprise Eve, but he's there in the midst.
Yeah.
And she trusts him. She has a trust there going, well, yeah, he did say this, that, and that begins the doubt of following the Creator, which then becomes are undoing for the center, the generations. Do I follow God or do I not? Mm-hmm. Do I follow what I know is good? And we all know that for the most part. The way this good and evil thing, I don't, sometimes people get bent things just don't work the way they thought, and they have no conscience, they have no semblance of right and wrong. That's all part of that sin process, along with, you know, other things that destroy life, cancer and depression and all these other things that will lead us, you know, this has all been a bent that has just caused disarray in our lives. But for the most part, we have a choice every single day, as Adam and Eve did, going, do I follow him, do I not? Mm-hmm. And I told this before, doubt is not evil. Doubt is not sin. I have doubt all the time, and I still battle it. That is not going to send me to hell. It's if you let it consume you, that's where, you know, yeah. I wouldn't say demonic forces, all the forces that are against God's will try to lead you away from that and let doubt eat you alive.
Right.
But it's the conscious decision going, nope, I'm going to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. That's where evil takes root. I'm going to do my own thing.
Right.
But asking questions, wondering this, wondering that, that's all good stuff, folks. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you get answers, but like I just said, a lot of stuff I battle with, and I'll never get an answer for it. Mm-hmm. I won't. Probably not until I enter the realm and go, can you explain this to me? I really hope that we're able to go up there and go, can you explain that to me? What happened before? Where were you from? What's going on? You know, before everything was created, what were you doing? Was there other folks out there like you? You know, where you're the high, you know, why did you choose this one? I'm hoping that we're able to fill in some of the gaps.
Well, and I think for folks listening, I mean, that's, I feel like anything is possible at this point. Anything is possible. I mean, if God wants to reveal it to you now, he can. Anything is possible.
He can.
I mean, we're talking about, I still go back to Exodus 33 when Moses is on the mountain and he goes, okay, here's the deal, God. You say that you have found, or that I have found favor in your sight. Okay, but, you know, here we are. Who's going to lead us? Who is leading us here? What's the situation here? I need you to show me your glory. I need to know who you are. And it's not,
right.
It's not, because I think a lot of people are asking or saying that, you know, Moses is going, well, I need to know that God exists. No, God, he knows God exists. He'd been talking to him in a burning bush before. This isn't the same encounter here. He is talking with God and he says, I know you exist, but I need to know who you are. Not, I need to know that you are. I need to know who you are. I need to know your person. Who is leading us here? What am I dealing with here? Show me your glory. And so God says, you have found favor in my sight. I am going to show you all my goodness. The only thing I can't show you is my face, but don't worry. I'm going to show you all my goodness. So I know you want to see who I am. I know you want to see the person that you're dealing with. I can't show you my face, but I'm telling you what, I'm going to show you all of these different things. And so somehow, because Moses did write the first five books, somehow Moses has gained all of this knowledge about creation, about lineage. And you go, well, he was a Hebrew. No, he grew up among Egyptians. Yes, he was a Hebrew, but he did not grow up among the Hebrews. He grew up among the Egyptians. He knew the Hebrew people were his people. That's why he had a heart for them. And that's why he killed an Egyptian, because he hated the treatment. But he didn't grow up with all of the backstories. He didn't grow up with the hand-me-downs. He didn't grow up with all that. Somehow he gained all of this knowledge. How did he do it? And it had to be in that moment where he's going, I need to know who I'm dealing with here. I need to know who is leading us in this people.
Yeah, because it gives me, that's again, I believe that's a personality trait that God's given us. We just want to know. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, the inquisitiveness, I mean, I'd be sitting there going, what caused God to create stuff? Well, maybe it was just, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. It's the same way. So we have that full nature of, I can see most, I just need to know fully what's going on here. I know this, and he's curious, who are you?
Yeah.
You know, I've never really seen you. It's like, here's the thing is, and I've always struggled with that, is we as humans are that visual type of person. We want to see, we want to talk. Moses is doing the exact same thing. I need to see you.
Yeah.
Now, what is in God's face? I don't know. I really don't. But anyway, so he's able to see the backside of him and the glory of who God, because Moses is very inquisitive. Who are you?
Right.
You know, I want to meet you face to face. Well, I can't show you face to face, but I can give you the next best thing.
Yeah.
I think show you the back of me and my glory. Mm. It's part of being human, and that's what gets us. I guess as humans, it's a good and a bad thing. Our curiosity is what gets us good things and also creates havoc.
Right.
Because that's where the Satan character comes in, makes him curious and going, oh yeah, maybe I am. So there's a curiosity that either shows us the goodness or gets bent and goes the other way. Mm-hmm. And that's what God was trying to protect us from, was, okay, don't do this. Because ultimately, it's going to kill you. You're going to die because of this. Mm-hmm. But it's that curiosity where Satan knew exactly what to do. I'm going to make me curious.
Right.
I'm going to throw a little, temptation there, which he just tempted him. He didn't make him. He didn't say, here's the fruit. Eat it. He goes, there it is. Mm-hmm. I can't give it to you, but I'm just going to throw a little bit of a, wondering here and curiosity going, what if I do eat this?
Yeah.
Well, they did. And that curiosity killed the cat. So to go down the path of being curious is always good. Wondering. It's just be careful, like God said to Cain, be careful. You know, this thing's sitting there. And it will consume you if you let it. Mm-hmm. Be careful. And every day he's telling us, be careful. When you walk out the door, as you're dealing with other people, be careful.
Right.
When you're dealing with not just people, but the overall earth, you're supposed to take care of it. Be careful. You know, take not just in humans, but take care of my earth as well, which that's what we were designed to do.
And you know, I wonder. Take care of it. Yeah, right. And I wonder if God isn't wanting us to say, okay, but show me who's leading me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe, again, I've done that. It's God's option. I've asked, not that I want to be special. It's like, God, I just want to understand, blah, blah. And some things I've understood and some things I'm going, I don't get it. And I'm just wondering why, and I'm not getting an answer for it. Yeah. Well, okay. It is what it is. It's frustrating. That's what it's that curiosity gets you. It's don't become bent on, well, you're not showing me that, you must not be real. Or I'm just, because I've been there, done that, and almost fallen off the cliff. Mm-hmm. And I'm still, I mean, there's still a good part of me that still goes, is this all correct? Mm-hmm. Are you really there? And if you're doing that, it's okay, people. Gosh, that's what gets me. It's like people, if I think that, then I must not be a Christian or I must not be a follower of God. Oh, bull crap. Hopefully the goal is to drive you closer so evil doesn't just, the sin part of it doesn't consume you and take you down a different path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think... probably the biggest thought that I would close this whole conversation with is, it takes it all the way back around to Isaiah 45 and 7. If God really is the one who has created both light and darkness, okay, if he's created both good and bad, if he's created both well-being and destruction and whatever you want to call it, if he has created all of that, then if God says, this is what I need you to do, then I think it's only right for you to go, okay, show me. Show me who you are then, because if you have created all this stuff and I don't know who you are, then chances are I'm going to fall into the evil and not the good. I'm going to fall into this place. And only fair that it's, you can't just have some obscure being. I mean, you can, but you can't just have some obscure being out there saying, okay, do this, don't do that. And then you have zero relationship with him. It's just some do and don't guy voice or whatever out there going, do this, don't do that, do that. Wait a minute. Time out. Who am I dealing with? And right. And if God is the creator of both good and bad, then I want to know who I'm dealing with. Right? And I don't mean that in a bad way, like I want to know what I'm up against. And that's not what I'm saying. I want to know who is leading me. I want to know that person. And I think that's only fair, because if God truly wants a relationship with you, then seeking that knowledge of who he is should be of utmost importance.
Right, because if he's placing us that direct path towards good, I need to know why, who you are, why do you want me to do this stuff? Yeah, it's just, it's part, again, that's human nature, which again, that's part of the frustration for me is, you know, God has decided to remain invisible to, I guess, what we're saying is, he's not appearing to us all the time physically. And that's frustrating, because we as humans thrive on that. But right. You are correct in saying, God, I need to know. And again, there's times, a lot of times, I'm still asking, and I'm not getting an answer. And it gets very frustrating. Mm-hmm. Do I give up? No. But it's beating the drum, going, okay, I'm not going to let this go.
Right.
I'm going to keep nagging you. And I need you just not to give up on me. Mm-hmm. And keep spurring me forward. So I do what is right in your eyes. Because if I don't, then sin sits there and will begin to consume you, mm-hmm. which it all does. It's like a crouching tiger. It's ready to consume you if you let it. And again, that's what I'm saying. That's where evil begins, is once you let sin take over, the selfish part of you will come out and evil springs to life. Hmm. It's just the natural part of the rebellion against God.
So really, ultimately speaking, the origins of evil, if I could oversimplify this, and I guess I will stress the word oversimplify. If I could oversimplify this, that the origins of evil start with a thought. Because if you look at Cain, you know, he's, for example, he has a thought that, well, God didn't accept my offering. And so this thought produced this feeling of anger, like, God didn't accept yes. my sacrifice.
But he accepted
my brothers. And so the thought produces the feeling, produces the, you know, and you could go on, Adam and Eve. Did God really say this? And who does he go to? He goes to Eve. Why does he go to Eve? Because Eve had the secondhand knowledge. She didn't ever get direct knowledge from God. She got it from Adam. God didn't say you can't touch the tree. He said, don't eat from it. But she says, we can't eat it or touch it, because if we do, we'll die. Well, I have a feeling that Adam said to her, dude, stay away from it. Just don't touch it. because
God told us
we can't eat from it. Just leave it alone. Just stop. Don't touch it. I have that sense. But so she had this secondhand knowledge. And so who does the serpent go to? Well, goes to Eve, the weaker link, because she didn't have direct knowledge. She didn't have this direct, it was through Adam that she gained it. And again, like you can know that because she went into this whole thing that God did not say. So you know that she was given secondhand knowledge because it's almost like Adam kind of really took God's knowledge and just whatever. He made it even more, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but he was driving the point home that just don't touch it. Just don't do anything with it, because if we do, we're going to die. So, but then he goes to Eve because it starts with a thought. And then once he gets her to think a little bit differently, then the Bible says that she looks at the tree again and she goes, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At that point begins the process.
At that point begins the process. Yes.
Process of sin. Because at that point she has a choice.
Yeah.
But that's where the critical mass comes in. She has a choice. Mm-hmm. Do I listen to God or do I follow the desires of my heart?
And so it started with
the temptation.
Yes.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, we don't know, because I'm looking at this going, and we're not going to go down this path, but she also gave to her husband who was with her and he ate. So was he, we don't know. Was that just being because that general, he was with her, or was he actually there with her? Don't know. Maybe he was over at another place. Well, I just picked of this. This tastes really good. Try it. So I don't know. I touched it, and it could be, again, it could be that she grabs it and she goes, well, I didn't die.
Right.
And she goes, well, let me go show Adam. Well, I didn't die. God says we're going to die. I didn't die. Let's try this stuff. So that's just all speculation. But yeah, it's the option of, that's where the critical mass hits. She had a decision to make at that point. Do I follow what God told me not to do, or do I follow what I want?
Right.
And that's where the sin comes in. And after that, my feeling is the progression, your thoughts go towards evil. And that's why God questions them. So, yeah, this creature doesn't grab the fruit and force it on her. He just says, I'm just saying it's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Touch it. Go ahead. Do just what you want to do. Go ahead and touch it. See what happens.
Do what you want to do.
See?
He doesn't force it. Yeah. He allows that to stew in her for a minute. And that's where the process, for all of us from end time, we still have that in us.
Yeah.
That constant tug of war. Of that is not right.
Yeah.
This is right. What I'm saying is divisive. Do I continue saying it? My thoughts are divisive. Do I correct that, or do I continue down that path? So we always are battling with that. We call it the sinful nature, that disobedience part, which then leads towards evil. Mm-hmm. The thoughts, the actions of evil. So,
and I would submit to people, if you've stuck around and we haven't upset you with some of our thought processes and you're listening to this whole thing now, I would go back and I would say this to you. I think that when evil and sin and all that take root, there are fruits of that that take place in your heart. And so then you have a different set of desires going on in your heart. I posed the question early, did Adam and Eve sin without knowing that they sinned? I don't know that I believe that, because I don't believe that the fruits of evil were desires in their heart until they ate of the fruit.
Well, they were given the option, and she had the before they weren't given an option. It was like, okay, this I don't need. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, if they were kids, God was correcting their parents. Yeah, this is all speculation, but now they had a choice. This wasn't God standing there going, okay, I'm going to stand here and watch. It was their choice.
Yeah.
All this being this Lucifer, whoever it was, Satan, whatever it was, all they wanted to do was, I'm giving you an option. I'm just telling you, which he's lying to him. But in a sense, it's all the way through this is he just gives them the option. Doesn't force it, but allows them to make, you now have a choice.
Yeah.
In a sense, God did the same thing. I'm telling you, don't eat it. Now, why God, again, we do not know. Did God have to do that? This is where it's all speculation. For some reason, God, in a sense, said, this has to be part of the human nature. Not only human nature, but it's also part of the spiritual nature, is there's an option.
Mm-hmm.
There's a duality going on here. In a sense, a yin and a yang. There is this balance. And you can either go towards the dark or towards the light. I'm not going to sit here with a pair of robots. You have a choice.
Yep.
And he allows them to do it.
Very true.
So.
Very, very true. Well, I don't know that we answered the questions, but we've spent an hour and a half putting out some thoughts and seeing what people think. And so hopefully... hopefully people will, you guys will dive into it maybe a little bit more. Ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions. Maybe you've got some thoughts. If you do, let us know.
Yep.
Because we're not the smartest people in the world. And
no, we're not. I'm not.
Probably not in our small little crayon box either. We're not the sharpest. So.
No, I'm sure my lead is awful dull. So.
Oh man. Well, maybe we'll come up with some amazing thing for next podcast too.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, something earth-shattering will pop up. So
very good. Well, thank you for bending my brain a little bit and causing me to think.
You too.
Yeah.
You too, sir.
Always, appreciate always, it. Always a pleasure.
Yep. And until next time. Yep.
Till next time. Did you enjoy today's episode? Why not subscribe to Espresso Coffee Talk? Stay in the know. Get some alerts when new episodes come out. Did you love today's episode? Why not send some love in return? Give me some stars in your podcast app. Leave me some comments. Let me know how I'm doing. Just please, please be gentle.
Been listening to Espresso Coffee Talk.